There it is. We wait for this every single year. Look at the guy in the middle. Look how creepy that guy is.
The Tat Man. Man.
I love it. Noodles in a Tat Man mask. You better be in underwear over there with some vinyl playing in the background.
That's right.
There he is.
Yes, guy.
Yes, guy.
Yes, guy. Yes, guy, no guy.
Yesterday, what we'd look like and feel like 20 years from now, this is it.
That's going to be you in 20 years with a stash. He's still got hair. That means the Rogaine, it held on for dear life. I like that. This is a big, big show for us. We are going to be hearing that theme music consistently for the next 3 hours. And there's a lot of topics to get into today as well. And we'll try to kind of bob and weave the Halloween theme into the different topics we're going to touch on. And Noodle's the only guy that got the memo that you're supposed to dress up. Oh, you and I were just kind of dressed casually today. I went with the golf shirt. You got the hat and the maple leaf hoodie with 92 on it. I like that.
Of course.
Mail it in Friday, buddy.
Why don't you talk to your new best buddy, Tucky, and see if he can get you one?
I should. Mm-hmm. With number 4 on it, right? That's my number. Actually, I was number 6 growing up. Maybe that's what I'll ask for.
Maybe number today, 6. Go with number 6.
Yeah, today. Yeah, exactly. Today.
Apparently, any other day in your life, you'd want number 4. Not today. You want number 6.
Right. Yeah, number 4 is taking a beating today by some people. Not all people, but some people, because Bobby Orr came out and endorsed Donald Trump, and Jack Nicklaus did it yesterday, and Brett Favre did it today as well. I've had people writing me all day, what do you think about Brett Favre? I'm like, my favorite football player of all time. He will still be my favorite football player of all time. I don't know Brett Favre personally. He's entitled to his own opinions, and he can vote for whoever he wants to. It's a democracy. He's allowed to do that. You know, I may not agree with it. You may not agree with it, but man, this is only going to build up to it's Friday. Wait until Wednesday, right? I was going to say wait until Tuesday, but wait until Wednesday. If, you know, either guy wins, you know, that's what gets lost in all this. And I'm not here to preach about politics and about society
You might know a little bit more than I do, you and Noodles. Aren't these people, they have one thing in mind, and that's a tax break, and that's why they support Donald Trump? Like, isn't that the main?
I think that's too simplistic. I mean, there's over 60 million people that voted for him and will likely vote for him again. It's going to be close. It is every single election, and you know, different people have different reasons for voting, and you know, I think it's too easy to pick one thing and say that's the reason for it. Could be a number of things. It could be that you don't like Joe Biden. You know, it could be that you didn't like Hillary Clinton back in 16. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
there's so
in reality,
you know what the thing is there's too many people on their high horse. People allowed, you should be allowed to speak. That's free. That's the beauty of free speech. And if one person chooses one road, the other person chooses another road, they shouldn't be judged for that. Like, you know,
everyone's attaching. If you say one, like if you support Donald Trump, they're attaching all the beliefs, all the support systems, all the comments, they think that you're attached to that and believe in that.
What? At the end of the day, the only thing I would say is why come out anyways and just, if you're a guy like Bobby Orr or you know, what was it, Jack Nicklaus and Brett Favre, like if 50% dislike a certain side, why would you come out and just divide, you know, half of your fan base or whatever? Like, I don't understand that logic, but I'm not a superstar like those guys. And I'll come back to what you said, Brian. They're allowed. They're, you know, it's not illegal. It's not illegal to vote.
It's not illegal. It's a democracy. You're allowed to feel the way you want to feel. I live by a simple rule. Don't mess with the liberties of anyone else. You know, I understand the vitriol. I understand the emotion, but I also think we all need to take a step back on both sides of the aisle and accept that it goes both ways. You know,
the
truth is, if Bobby Orr came out and said, I support Joe Biden, there'd be thousands of people saying you're a joke and now I'm burning your jersey and you hate America. It's like, man, it's crazy on both sides of the aisle. Yeah. And I actually look at it differently than you do, Noodles. I support anyone that's got the stones to say what they believe in this environment on both ends, you know, whoever it is, whether it's up here Trudeau or O'Toole, you know, like if we're going liberals and conservative, it's not nearly as toxic up here in terms of politics and the way people approach it in our country.
Yeah, I just,
but
now
it's so easy just to say, I'm not going to do or say anything because I'm afraid people are going to jump on me. If you are willing to step up and say, this is what I believe, I'm allowed to believe it, and I'm going to say it, I think actually we should be saluting that. I don't think you have to. Of course not. I'm not saying I would be one that does. We don't talk politics on this show. We don't lean one way or the other. We talk about sports and pop culture
then.
And, you know.
What if somebody had the belief and stood up and said, I believe for the OHL to play hockey again, there will be no conduct.
Well, that's clearly an outrageous decision.
I don't agree with that at all, guys. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Because how are these kids? I know it's a skill league and you're getting away from fighting and stuff, but body contact?
Hey,
what the hell are they doing?
You believe in somebody, you like somebody that could stand up and have a belief in something and stand by it. What's your issue?
Well, I'll tell you what the issue is. So this just happened over the past hour. Lisa McLeod, who is the Minister of Sport and Tourism and she is basically overseeing sports in the province, and she's been working with the Ontario Hockey League. And there had been reports before, she had indicated this before on the record, that her belief was going to be, and she was leaning towards, if the Ontario Hockey League is going to return, there will not be body contact. And today she came out and issued a statement. And to be fair to her, you know, we've reached out to her. We'll see if we can get her on. And I'd like to see if maybe there's more to the statement. Maybe there's more that will come in the second wave, so to speak, in terms of an explanation. But she said the reasoning, based on her statement today, the reasoning for banning body contact this year if the OHL is going to return is because of the COVID outbreaks in the queue. But I haven't seen any science that would indicate that the reason COVID was showing up in the QMJHL was because of body contact in the corners or an open ice hit.
Gathering off the ice.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. Like, I would treat this black or white. It's much like college football. These kids are a little bit younger, you know, in the OHL, a little bit younger than college football. But you either play or you don't play.
Exactly.
And if you're going to play, then place restrictions on everything you possibly can outside of the rules of the game, right? Clearly, we need separation. Maybe you need two buses to travel. We need separation. Everyone has their own water bottle. Can't shower after the game. Stuff like that. Absolutely. Get involved. Put it in place. Strict guidelines, all that kind of stuff. But when you drop the puck, if you're going to play, play.
Yeah, you know, right. Once you're there, let them play. Hockey players. I think it's, in a way, it's just trying to be a hero. It's a hero move, trying to say, I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm going to beat COVID with one statement. I don't know. I think it's ridiculous, and I agree with your point. If you're not going to let them play body contact sport, then don't play at all, because it's basically a semi-pro league. They're as close to being a professional as you can get, and it's a joke.
It's shinny. What they're saying is we're going to play shinny.
It's a joke.
And it's not hockey. It's not hockey. It's not going to help the development of players.
No.
I'd be shocked if there were players that actually liked it, like actually enjoyed it. And I'm almost expecting players opting out for the opposite reason, where we have seen players and, you know, students and all that kind of stuff opting out based on safety. This might see people and players opting out because there's too much safety. Like, there's too much.
What other options would there be?
Bubble wrapping. That's what it is. Like, listen, this is very serious, COVID. I get that. But if you feel that there's any risk, don't do it then. Like, what they're doing is dipping their toe in. They're not jumping in the pool. They're like, oh, we'll put hockey back in place, but you're going to put all these parameters. Well, it doesn't make sense. Like, don't have it. Unfortunately, like, I want junior hockey. I think junior hockey, we've all played it. It's not only great to get to pro hockey through junior, but it's an avenue to help you grow up and become more of an adult. And there's life lessons involved in junior that I will have for my whole life, and friendships that we all made in junior. I get that, but I just think this reeks of something more, like maybe the covering off some bases, making sure that if you allow it, hey, we got to make sure that we did this or whatever. Like, this has more maybe of a political angle or something, but I disagree with it personally.
Yeah, I do. I think
it's a hero
do.
You're, move.
Yeah. Well, it just doesn't make sense. It's either black or white. Like, if you're not going to play, that'd be very disappointing. but at least say, you know what, we've come to the conclusion because of the queue and the outbreaks there, we can't trust that when you bring 18 kids together, they're going to socially distance appropriately, that it's going to work out with traveling, with all that kind of stuff. We just don't think it's going to work. So instead of starting the season and shutting it down, sorry, guys, it sucks. Everyone's had to make sacrifices.
Right.
Season's done. We'll see you next fall. Or we're playing. But to be half pregnant here and say, you're playing, but this isn't hockey. You know, we're going to come out and wear our uniforms, but play shinny, to me, again, without the science that I have seen. I have not seen the science suggesting body contact was the reason that there was an issue in the queue.
I'm thinking about what I'm going to see as a product. I don't even know what the hell I'm going to watch. It's going to be laughable.
It'll be a stick check. Isn't beer league hockey no contact
exactly
for the most part?
Is. Yeah.
That's what it is.
It'll be better pace, clearly more skill, obviously. Right. But I don't know. Like, can you battle
what
in front of the net?
Yeah, what about the corners? Can you battle in the corners? Can you battle in front of the net?
It's stick checking and maybe hand on stick. But let's go the other way then. Let's take a step back from emotion.
Joke.
Well, let's take a step back from emotion and take a look at this. Would you rather have, we'll call it 80% of OHL hockey or zero? Because really, 20% is body contact. You've got skill skating. Like, the process is still going on. Would you rather have something or nothing?
I think it's zero plus zero equals zero, Noodles.
That's fair.
This to me is not, that's not hockey. Like, it's not. It's a completely different game. If body, like, what are we talking about here? You know, well, like, is there some semblance of you're allowed to battle for a puck? You know, like, okay.
Right.
Maybe. Like, is this simply open ice hits are not allowed?
Dude, I'm curious, Brian, if she had anything else up her sleeve to say. I guarantee you she pulled back on a couple other things. And well, like, I don't know what the hell that would be.
Let me ask you guys this. I've seen recently some teams practicing where the kids are wearing masks. Would you be fine with the OHL, with the guys wearing masks underneath their visors?
I don't see how you can. Like, we've all played at that level. You'd pass out.
I understand that. All I'm saying is that the only thing I can speak of is I saw some stock video the other day of the Mitchell Miller situation, and he was out there skating around with a mask on. So it looks like people are practicing with masks on. Am I wrong? Did you see that too or not?
I have no idea.
Okay,
Nettles.
So I
haven't seen anything.
I saw that. So all I could think to myself is, if maybe that's a step, and I know breathing, everything, you're going to ask a kid to wear a mask, like when he's got a 45-second shift and he gets caught out there, like, you're right, he could pass out, like something bad could happen to his respiratory system. But, you know, ultimately, I'm trying to take a step back and because I'm disappointed, because I'm emotional about it too. I think it's ridiculous, but I also want, to your point, Brian, to hear what the science behind it is, or if this is just, hey, we think this is the safest to put it, the product back on the ice. We think. Okay, show
us.
Well,
obviously they think that. I mean, and again, I don't know why you'd have to make a call on this in October when they're not even in camp until January and playing until February, right? Like, in the province, the same government came out yesterday with new projections that, you know, suggest we're hopefully plateaued and maybe moving in a better direction. And maybe this is subject to change. You know, or maybe it will be like the women's game that is quite physical, right? They're not massive open ice hits, but women's hockey at the Olympic level, they battle. Like, they get in there and fight for pucks and they fight for position. And, you know, if that's what we're talking, but even that, it's like, okay, if you're going that far, you're still right beside each other, right? And just the science of a body, like a hit, you don't throw a hit face to face and breathe on some guy and stand there for 6 seconds.
No.
But you hit
sweat
and release.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know if you guys heard this term. I used to have an assistant coach in the NHL named Rich Preston. And Rich used to say, you know, you come in and he had a saying, snot bubble. I don't know if you've ever heard that. Go and snot bubble the guy. That means, like, hammer him. And that's probably what they're trying to get away from. To your point, Brian, those open ice hits where, you know, it's a big collision.
How does COVID apply with that?
I don't understand.
I mean,
and the other thing is, what are the OHL, the owners of the franchises, think of this? Are they just supposed to take this on the chin and say, okay, we're going to go play? I can't see the people involved in these franchises being happy with this.
Well,
what about billet situations? I mean, the families that are taking these kids in, like, are they going to be in a bubble? I have no idea. It's There's so many things to be figured out here, but the one thing out of the game is hitting. I find, like, I don't know, the NFL, the most powerful league in the world, is putting players out on the field and they're crushing each other, but the OHL can't have hitting in it.
College football too, right? Like, now they obviously
give me a break.
They don't have the money to test, right? I haven't seen anything on testing, but you're not going to get that in the OHL. You're not getting daily testing. I don't even think you're going to get weekly testing. You're going into it hoping that there's a plan and hoping that everyone can find a way to stay safe, which we all agree with. Like, of course safety is the highest priority. It seems incredibly selective that this is the one thing that can't happen, which, in my opinion, drastically changes the nature of the sport. Drastically changes. Like, physical contact is a big part of hockey, especially at that level. Like, you're talking big boys that battle. And I'm thinking about, you know, that next step for the NHL, which is further down the list of priorities.
How's a scout supposed to look at a guy?
That's what I was about to say. If you're a scout and you show up and you're like, man, this guy is unbelievable this year. Is it because he can't? Exactly. Well, but like, that's a legitimate point. Like, if a guy all of a sudden is lighting the league on fire, is it because no one can hit him?
Right. No kidding. And guess what? A year from now, when there's a vaccine or treatment or any type of thing and body contact goes back in, this guy's a mouse and he can't play anymore.
Exactly. And that is a part of a scouting process. Like, who's going to battle through? Who can? What if you're a stay-at-home defenseman that, you know, intimidation's a part of your game? And I know a lot of people don't like that, but it's still a part of the game, and you can make it to the NHL based on that.
Right.
But, you know, what you may just start getting danced.
That's right. What if you're a skilled forward and somebody wants to see, a scout wants to see you get rocked on your first shift and see how you respond, see if you have any jam? Mm-hmm. Hazy, I know you were a guy that would come out the next shift and you would show your face on the blue line.
That's right, buddy.
No one saw that. No one saw that, but I know it.
Yeah, they should have been taking notes. They weren't paying attention, clearly.
Here's the thing that I'm fingers crossed for all of this. We're at the end of October. Let's hope by February, which when they're planning on dropping the puck, they're going to have a lot more advancement as far as rapid testing, you know, maybe a treatment, maybe a vaccine, that type of stuff that is hopefully coming down the pike, and we won't have to deal with this. Like, this could be, like I say, a hero move early on, and this is the worst that it could look like. And then by the end, if there is some treatment and that, it's a moot point because maybe February 4th that, you know, maybe the world looks a little bit more normal than it does right now.
And let's hope that that's the case, clearly, not just for the OHL, for society in general. But, you know, let me clarify that if it's a form of 5-on-5 where you're still allowed to battle, then I think it's doable. I don't think it'll be the same, and it won't be the same. It won't feel the same, but it'll be doable. But maybe this is my own extreme impression, is I almost picture the guidelines being like, hey, you know, don't, it's all stick check, don't battle. It's like almost like a lacrosse whistle. Like, it's, if you're battling for a puck on the boards, immediate whistle. We got to separate everyone, drop the puck and move on with the play. And if that is what they're advocating for, then that is not OHL hockey. Like, it's not.
No.
It never has been. It never will be. It never should be. I get that this year with COVID and, you know, what we've had to endure and what we have to balance out and sacrifices being made, I get it. And that's why I would understand. I'd be disappointed for everyone involved, but I would have understood if they just said, you know what, it's not going to work this year. But to say it's going to work, but just this is coming out, to me, just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense, and I feel for the players.
Yeah. I just got a note, and I, you know, verified from a guy who writes to me, said, in the Manitoba Junior League, a face wash is an automatic 2-minute unsportsmanlike conduct. So you give a guy a little, you know, the stinky glove after a whistle. I can understand that.
Yeah.
And then it said, board battles are allowed, but freezing the puck against the boards is blown down much quicker.
Right.
So that's kind of what you were saying. Like, it's, you know, it's mindful of it. So it may just come back to, like, the actual, like, big hits in the neutral ice, that type of stuff. I'd like to see, you know, a blanket statement saying no body contact, to me, just comes off ridiculous. If there's some parameters saying we want to limit this because of this, then if there's some research to it and not just shooting from the hip, I want to listen because I do want these kids to play. I want them to develop. I think it's good for society, good for everybody to have these things to turn to. But I get where you're coming from, Brian, because I'm the same. I'm pissed off the
well,
same way.
And again, I also look at, you know, this is an escape for kids who have not, you know, they've had the game ripped away from them. Everyone's had kind of their normalcy ripped away from them. We've all had to do that. But here was an opportunity to say we're going to take every precaution possible. If you're not comfortable with playing, don't play. We're going to change up our scheduling. We're going to change up our practice routine. Everything outside of when the puck drops is going to be different, feel different. You know, that's what we have to do. But when we're on the ice and you're playing, it's going to feel like 2019 for the first time in a long time. Go out there and play. Don't think. And that's another thing. You get kids who are going to be like, am I allowed to do this? You know, am I allowed? What am I doing out here? If the rules change drastically. So we'll track this throughout the day. We'll see what Ray says just after 5 o'clock. Pierre LeBrun coming up later this afternoon. Peter King will join us, though. Al's brother hearing the
such
Halloween theme song, man.
Play it for us.
This
for
is
Al's
what
brother.
Al's brother heard when the Atlanta Falcons won the game last night. And he suckered the O-Dog into another L.
Terrible.
It's a joke. He's a joke.
I also think that Leaf fans heard that when they heard that Michael Hutchinson signed, but I think it's a good signing, personally.
We'll tell you more about that. We'll tell you why they shouldn't be hearing this music, Noodles. There you go. Okay, we'll get to that later this afternoon. Peter King on Bills Pats this weekend. You got Steelers Ravens. We got a couple of big games this weekend. We'll get into it all with Peter. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Peter King will join us here in just a moment. The O-Dog takes another L last night. That was tough, man. I thought you had it early there. I thought Carolina was going to roll. And
no, they're not rolling. It's just one of those teams, as soon as they do that, I'm like, I can't support you again. Like, Atlanta's so brutal, and maybe they knew it with the line. Like, I don't know. We talked about it yesterday. Maybe they're going to pull their heads out of their rear ends. I don't know. It's just Al's brother. He just talks it up like he knows what he's talking about. Well, he's an idiot.
Well, you mentioned the word cat in there, and you bit. That's what it was. Remember the
he had the little rhyme. He got me with the rhyme.
Exactly.
He's a loser.
That's what he did. He sounded polished.
Loser.
He polished a turd up, and he sent it over
your way.
Is
he in there? Is he back in his cage? Has he got anything to say for himself?
No, we'll get him later. Don't you worry. We're going to let him bask in it a little bit.
By the way, Hayes, I might have jumped the gun saying that this was, like, official. There's going to be no hitting. Because I think Dregs just came out and said, this isn't official. So who knows? Who knows what's going on here?
Right. I think my impression is that the OHL is pushing back or there's some negotiation going on. But I believe the final call would be in the hands of the government and Lisa McLeod. So, you know, she has made it clear that that's what she's pushing for. But, yes, it is not official until it's official and until they drop the puck in February, even if that happens at all. Here's our NFL insider from NBC, Peter King. How you doing, Peter?
Good, and I love being introduced with the with some hockey talk. Let's talk hockey.
Well, there's a big story going on up here in the Ontario Hockey League, which I know you're familiar with. That's basically a stepping stone towards the NHL. It's as good as it gets. It's the best junior league in the world. They're
debatable.
Better than the WHL. Well, right there with the WHL, but better than the Quebec League. We got one guy who's a WHL alumnus and two guys who played in the OHL, and both equal legacies in the OHL, just for your understanding, Peter. And they're saying they might return to play, but without body contact because of COVID, which is not going over so well here.
It's a joke.
I guess there's a parallel with college football, right, where they were either just going to get rid of it or if they're coming back to play, they're going to play. And that's what they've been doing in college football. They're playing the real game of football.
You know, I don't know how you're going to play hockey without people touching each other. Mm. I mean, you know, how is that possible, really? It seems like maybe you ought to wait until you can actually play the game that is the real game. I don't
know.
But you know what they found? I'll tell you what they found in the NFL. At least so far, you know, the Tennessee Titans have this, you know, before they had the outbreak, they went and played the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, and they played a full game. and not a soul on the Minnesota Vikings tested positive for COVID. And after that game, 21 additional people in the Titans organization, players and staff, tested positive. And so the one thing that it's a few other things. It isn't only that, but one of the big things that the NFL has found so far is that there's very little evidence that COVID is passed between people in a physical activity like the sport of football. It's, you know, because what that is, it's a 5-second contact between, say, an offensive lineman and defensive lineman, close contact, intense contact, and then they're apart from each other for the next minute, you know, and then they do it again, and then they maybe do it again, and then they go to the sidelines for 7 minutes, and then they come back and they do it again. So the current intelligence that the NFL is working on is that it isn't close contact for multiple close contacts for very short periods of time that cause this transmission and the exchange of the virus. You have to actually be with somebody or in close contact in a meeting room or somewhere on a field for some period of time. And that's when you really, are in danger of passing COVID to somebody else.
Well, there's obviously a big relation to COVID and the future of the NFL with the news that Trevor Lawrence has tested positive. And I know you're an NFL guy, but I'm sure you've been tracking this story. Do you think there's a chance he won't play again at Clemson? You know, could he just sit out and say, it's not worth it, I'm done, and I'm going first overall anyway. I'll see you in New York.
I don't think so. I think the general perception about Trevor Lawrence, both at Clemson and among people who know him outside of Clemson, believe that the guy really loves playing football. And, you know, unless he suffers some sort of, he has a serious case of COVID and is hospitalized with it, let's just say, which isn't often the case with young people, but it's possible that he most likely is going to come back and play. I have not heard many people who say, well, that's it for him, he's now going in the draft. I've probably heard more that he might seriously consider coming back if he doesn't want to go play for Team X, you know, like the Jets, for instance, which is so, I mean, I would not criticize him for saying, I'm not going to go play for the Jets. And if he doesn't, all the power to him. And have maybe the Jets will be forced to trade him somewhere or trade his rights to somebody else. But the problem, honestly, with sort of trying to pick your team in the NFL, honestly, is, you know, how often has it happened and will it work? And, you know, to me, the only way it can work is if there is a willing partner to say to the New York Jets, hey, we'll give you 4 first-round draft choices for the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, I'll tell you this right now. Joe Douglas, who's the general manager of the Jets, is a lifelong personnel dude. And if somebody said to him, we'll give you 4 ones for your first pick in the draft, I think he would be extraordinarily tempted to take it. Because he would figure that, you know, the odds say that 2 of those 4 would become franchise players for you. You know, the cornerstone players for you to turn this franchise around. Then you'd have to hope that Sam Darnold could be a good quarterback for you. But anyway, I'm spitballing here, but I'm saying that I think the best opportunity for the Jets would be to hold an auction for that pick if indeed they end up picking number one, which I think most people feel they probably will.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to change this weekend with them at Kansas City.
No.
I don't think they're going to start turning things around, but we're about 90 minutes outside of Buffalo, and we can pick up on the anxiety all week because Belichick and the Pats are rolling into town. First time in 20 years without Brady. first time in maybe 20 years where the Bills are absolutely expected to win this game and expected to win the division. Yet the Pats have lost three in a row. I just read that Edelman obviously not playing. Harry will not be there as well. So the two
and
big
Field,
weapons.
Harry, yeah, their top two receivers are not playing in the game.
Right. So it in you would think, if you're being sensible, you're like, wow, that benefits the Bills. But when you're a fan of a team that finds a way to lose and has had so many issues, and I know it as a fan of many teams here in the Toronto scene, it actually adds more pressure. Because you're like, now we're really supposed to win. Like, you've got to win. And they better win, because if Belichick finds a way to solve them this weekend, they are going to be in full-out panic mode in Buffalo.
Well, right, and rightfully so, because, look, what is different about the Bills in the last two or three weeks? In my opinion, what is different is that Josh Allen is not the phenom that he was in the first month of the season. Why is that? I don't know. Watch him. He looks the same. But I think one of the things about Josh Allen is that he underwent a transformative change in the offseason with his throwing mechanics. Okay. And I think you'd probably have to ask a real mechanic of the position whether Josh Allen has reverted to 2018 or 19 form, which caused him, quite honestly, to reach out to his own quarterback coach in the offseason, Jordan Palmer, and to Tony Romo, who is a QB mechanic guy of the first order. And essentially, I think if he regresses, the Bills are, 9-7, 10-6 type team. They might win the division, but I don't think they'll go very far. They need their quarterback to be a big time playmaker to win games, because they don't have the best defense in the league. They're going to need to score some points, every Sunday for them to win. So look, I think the way the Patriots are going to play this game is, I think Josh McDaniels is going to put the ball in Cam Newton's hands. And even if he has to run 20 times on Sunday, I think this is going to be a tight end, running back, and Cam Newton type game for the Patriots, because they simply do not have the weaponry on offense to scare anybody. And that's why, to me, I think that Cam Newton has got to really take this game on his shoulders. And if they have any chance to win, it's got to be a classic, old-fashioned Cam Newton game.
Peter, another intriguing matchup is Pitt-Baltimore. You got Big Ben and Lamar. One guy can hardly run, and one guy runs all over the field. How do you see that matchup playing out?
Well, I mean, what's really interesting about this game, at least the way I kind of look at it right now, is that Baltimore is a game behind Pittsburgh right now. And not only that, Baltimore has a significantly more challenging schedule down the stretch than Pittsburgh has. So I think if they fall two games behind, it's going to be really, really hard for them to win this division. And then Baltimore would have to be then, at best, the fifth seed in the AFC. I mean, look at Baltimore's schedule after they face Pittsburgh. Okay, they've already had their bye. So they go at Indianapolis, at New England, Tennessee at home, at Pittsburgh on our Thanksgiving night, and then, Dallas, which ought to be pretty easy, and then at Cleveland, which I can't predict Cleveland. Nobody can. And then the last 3 weeks, they have a pretty easy schedule, as does Pittsburgh. But to me, I think it's going to be really, really – I think it's a much bigger game for Baltimore than it is for Pittsburgh. It means more to Baltimore. And, we might have talked about this last week. I forget. But here's what is so interesting to me about the value that Baltimore places on this game. So about 9 days ago now, Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, was having conversations about a trade with Rick Spielman, the general manager of the Vikings. And what he said is, he said, look, if we get Yannick Ngakoue, if we're going to trade for him, we need to have this trade done by Thursday day. And Spielman said, why? And he goes, we want to get Yannick Ngakoue in Baltimore by Thursday night. And the reason that that was important is that in the NFL right now, you need 5 days of negative COVID tests before a guy can join your team, be in your locker room, be in team meetings. So, you know, they wanted to, for him to have his first test on Friday morning. So that would mean Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. In most NFL camps, the work week starts on Wednesday morning. So if Yannick Ngakoue would have been able to take 5 COVID tests and he passed all of them, he would be able to join the team with all privileges and be able to go anywhere in the building and basically be a member of the team starting on Wednesday. That's exactly what happened. And that tells me the Baltimore Ravens want Yannick Ngakoue to be a full participant against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's not coming in and playing 10 or 15 snaps. I think he starts the game and plays a huge role in this game. That's how important this game is to Baltimore. And, you know, the sort of the headline aspect is, obviously, Lamar Jackson, he needs to play big in big games. And that's good, you know, because he's obviously spit the bit in a couple of playoff games so far. This is the kind of game that the Ravens need Lamar Jackson to come through big time in.
It's going to be a fun weekend like it always is. Enjoy it, Peter. We'll read your stuff on Monday morning. We'll do this again next Friday. Thank you for this.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Peter King from the NFL and NBC. Yeah, that is a big game because it really is all about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Roethlisberger's won Super Bowls. He's done it before, and he's undefeated this year. The biggest game,
really good, too.
And he's looked very good. The whole team has looked good. The biggest game of the year in terms of marquee moments was Kansas City-Baltimore. And the Chiefs rolled in there and laid a beating on them. And now it's time for redemption if you're Baltimore. And Jackson better show up. He was not good in that game. He's not been good in playoff games. Man, he can carve up the Bengals. But can you beat the best teams in the biggest moments? We'll find out this weekend. Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. We've got a very unique Halloween-themed bit we're going to get to a little bit later on. All right, I'm going to explain.
We will not reveal the name until it's go time.
Yeah, this will blow your mind. This is creativity that is
I saw it on the notes, and man, did we dig for this one.
It's just an outstanding bit. We've been thinking about it for about 364 days. It's never been done before in the history of radio. Nothing like this has ever been done before.
What's the game that we play?
Confirm or deny.
Confirm or role play. It makes role play, confirm or deny, look like child's play.
Yeah, it really does.
Let's just say that.
It's must. You got to hear this. Okay, we'll get to that in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Ray's coming up at about 15. Back into the Halloween theme music. We'll do that at 5 o'clock. Our boy, Fred Funk. All right, there's a PGA Tour event going on down in Bermuda right now, and Fred Funk is punching balls down the fairway and making cuts. So he's been on tour for a long time. He's 64.
Dude, this guy drives it 248 yards with his driver.
No, not even that long. Okay, so Joel Beal, who I guess is down there covering it. Fred Funk, through two rounds.
I've been watching it all day.
He's averaging 234.8 yards off the tee.
That's you. That's you, Hayes. Right?
That's basically me. I would blow past Fred Funk. Like, if I hit one on the sweet spot, I would be 30 yards past. Well, maybe not 30.
Well, the thing with that, there's wind howling on that golf course in Bermuda where it's, that guy hits it 250, 260. I mean, he was hitting a 270 when he was on tour, but he's probably 60 years old now.
He's 64. But the thing is about a 234 average, that means there's 10 drives that were 215.
Dude, the King Daddy Topper, Hayes, is he's playing with his son, and Frederick made the cut, and his son didn't.
Right. Fred, is
imagine you're playing with your old man and your dad is an old man and you're both in the same group on tour and he makes the cut and you don't. That would suck.
You know what you'd probably hear? Tough. I'll tell you what you'd probably hear. You'd hear the Halloween theme music.
Yes,
that's right.
There it is. Taylor Funk, I believe, is his name. Yeah. When he's watching
when you're going
Fred.
To the scorekeeper at the end of the round, this is the music in the room when you're handing in your scorecard. And your dad made the cut and you didn't. This guy probably bombs at 3:30 and his dad hits at 2:35 off the tee and he made the cut. Yeah.
Oh, he's probably 100 yards past Fred. Or not quite. But on average, I bet you he's 60 yards past him. He's like 25 years old. He probably hits the ball on average 280, 290. At least.
Or 330. Imagine driving in 180 by your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad's got a 2 hybrid and you have a lob wedge in.
But Freddie is just dialed with that 2 hybrid.
Yeah. I got buddies down in South Florida that play Jacksonville that played numerous times with Jim Furyk, and they say this guy does not hit a tee ball that will make you go, wow. Like, it's 270 down the middle, 265 down the middle, but he'll pull out a hybrid and stick it to 4 feet like it's his job.
Right.
And if that's the difference, it's like you think you're cool with a 9-iron missing a green, and he's stuffing 4 hybrids.
Exactly. That's what gets lost in the sport.
I know.
Like, it's
like
all
people
about
are fascinated with distance and stuff, but if you can't hit a 9-iron to 10 feet, who cares how long you hit it?
Oh, everyone's played with someone where you're not even paying attention to them. And then at the end, you're like, what'd that guy shoot? 74. Yeah, you're like, pardon? You're like, oh, yeah, I guess so. You're right.
Dude, beware the older dude that just bunts it down the middle and it's good around the greens and can putt. He will rinse you every time.
Every single time.
Some young buck just wants to blow it all over the yard, and he'll shoot 85 and get rinsed. The old guy, the steady Eddie down the middle, trust me, that course you shoot 200 at the National, they're everywhere around there, ready to take your money.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's it, Noodles. It's consistency, man.
They just chip away. That's where I find, like, I haven't golfed a ton. Believe me, a tiny bit. But if I've golfed with a veteran golfer, like an older guy, they just know their game. And they don't try and step outside of their wheelhouse. They just go, you know what? I hit it 225 down the middle every time. I don't try and hit it 275 and hook this over the tree and do that. Like, they know because they've gone through the ups and downs. And they're tired of it.
It's an acceptance of who you are. It's what I should be doing. Believe me, I don't bomb it, but I will step up and say, you think I can take on that bunker? And it's like, no, I can't. Like, I might. 1 in 10, I might bomb it and get there. But why not 20 yards right, and then you're in the fairway? Like, it's like any sport, man. You go to a gym, and there's an old-timer playing basketball, and you're like, he's not trying step-back threes like James Harden. He's backing you into the paint and hooking a ball in.
It in.
Yeah, and you lose every time. Yeah. You know? You lose every time. But what are you going to do? Fred Funk, shout out. Shout out to Fred Funk.
Yep. Shout out, Freddie Funk.
That's pretty impressive to make a cut on tour, averaging 234 off the tee.
We love him.
Yeah. We got to get into there's a bunch of baseball audio and stories I want to get to. Dave Roberts was on the Dan Patrick Show. We'll get to that around 5:30. But I was thinking about just past winners. So the past 5 winners in baseball, 3 of them are somewhere between despised or unlikable because of certain situations. The 2016 Cubs team was marvelous, right? Like, if you're a fan of the White Sox or the Cardinals – or, you know, the Brewers or whatever, you're not going to love that. But the story was captivating. It was incredible. It was 108 years or whatever. They go out and win a World Series at Wrigley. Amazing. Last year, the Nationals. First World Series ever. Great story. Amazing.
Everybody loved them.
Everyone loved them. The 2017 Houston Astros, despised. Despised. Yep. The 2018 Boston Red Sox, not despised, but very unliked because they were cheating as well. They got caught. And they're the Red Sox, and everyone hates Boston because all they do is win. Right. And now this year with the Dodgers, because of the Turner stuff, like because of Justin Turner going out there, it's like it leaves a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth about another victor.
I don't know. It doesn't leave a bad taste with me. We're talking about one guy's idiocy. And I talked to a major league player today, and I was like, what did you mean? He said, very simple, Major League Baseball had to bring him back to the hotel. That's what should have happened. And it didn't. And anybody else probably would have ran the field too.
That's a great point. Like, you know what? He's immediately he's removed, and you take him back to the hotel.
So how are you going to do that? Where are you going to handcuff him?
You just say, look, you're coming with us. You're going to go back to the hotel. Like, I don't know. I've been around people like that where they're not horsing around. You get your ass in that van right there. It's leaving. You're going back to the hotel. Non-negotiable, Brian. Non-negotiable. And I plugged it. We're doing a segment in the 6 p.m. hour. That's going to change sports radio.
Yes, it really will. Like, we don't want to hype our own stuff too much, but I think that's reasonable. It's going to change sports radio forever. That's not hyping it up too much. 5 p.m. hour coming up. Ray Ferraro will join us. The Halloween theme song continues. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and the TSN app.